You are listening to A Psychic Story, a podcast that shares behind-the-scenes insights of people who lead supernatural lives among the ordinary. And I'm your host, Nicole Bigley. Join me every other Wednesday as I dispel the myths behind magic and lore. Welcome to A Psychic Story. Psychic listeners, in this episode of A Psychic Story, we have psychic medium Deb Shepherd to join, and we are going to dive into the topic about how to connect with your spirit guides through your dreams. And so, Deb, I want to welcome you to the show. You're a big deal, so I'm very honored to have you as a guest.
Well, thank you. I was so honored and listened to your podcast and some really great people. And I feel like I'm with family, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's important, I think, to make sure that we share our experiences with others, but also what resources are out there, because everybody's different where they are in their journey and what kind of topics they're interested in. And the ones that I frequently get people asking me about are, you know, more about how to connect with your angels, how to connect with your guides, and really what kind of other tools we have at our disposal. So I'm really fascinated to dive in a little bit later on about how dreams and our intuition can help us with that. But first, I really would love to hear your story about how you even got started into this, in this spiritual journey, and where you're at today.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a late bloomer. This did not happen to me early in my life. However, I have had experiences. I did die when I was about 2 years old from a drowning and was revived. So I'm sure that probably helped a little bit along the way. But as a teenager, I remember telling my mom that I saw Elvis dying in the bathroom. And my mom says to me, "Would you want syrup or powdered sugar on your French toast?"
It's like, she just blew it off?
She just blew it off. I don't think she even remembers. But this happened about 23 years ago, probably, where my husband at the time, he's now deceased, his company had downsized and he had lost his job and we never really recovered. And so I started on a spiritual journey. And I think that some people go into this kind of idea and research is when they're at a crossroads. You know, they've had some devastating things happen to them. And my girlfriend told me about feng shui. And I had no idea what this was about, but I decided to try it because nothing else was working. And from that, I started feeling energy and started feeling people around me who had passed. And this was before really the internet and things like that. So I went to the library and started reading books about mediums and realized that that's what it was. And I remember sitting my husband down after a bottle of wine or so and said, "Hey, I think I can talk to dead people." And so he was really glad we were pregnant again because we were getting older. But it kind of just opened the door and I realized that everything is energy. And just it grew from there.
It sounds like you have a great relationship with your husband. What was his reaction when you told him that?
Always very supportive, but he is deceased now. He's been gone for about 20 years or 19, well, about 14 years probably. But thank you. Yeah. So he was a very supportive person. And he said, "You know, I'm not surprised. You've always been intuitive." But I think the word intuition was used very differently than it is today.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that. Because, you know, every person who I've really had on the show talks about either whether people are supportive or not, but it is very different, as you mentioned, how we would throw it around then versus now. So if you can dive a little bit more into that.
Yes, absolutely. I had to learn boundaries, and I'll tell you how I told my family, but I remember being invited to a party here in my neighborhood, and we were all drinking wine. And I looked at this lady, and I started crying that her father was there. And I had to realize at that time that I needed to create boundaries because when people don't understand that you can do this, then you have to really be smart. But I sent my brother, which I'm very close to, a book about another medium. And they read it and they thought, I wonder if Deb's trying to tell us something. And then when I told my parents, I told them they didn't have to believe that this is what I was going to do. And they said, "As long as we don't have to agree with you." And they're very supportive in that way. We have jokes about it. I even have a bet with my mom that when she dies, she's going to know I was right. So we have fun with it. And then my in-laws, they were very supportive. I did a reading for them. And from that time on, they would have me read for their friends and things like that. So, you know, you just have to realize that people do not have to accept what you do or how you believe. It's just letting them know that you respect how they believe as well. And I think that comes out to be a win-win for people.
Yeah, absolutely. And when did you actually decide to do this like full-time as your profession? What did that look like and feel like?
Yeah, so I could feel it and I was kind of reading for some friends and I kept on the download. You know, you don't kind of let people know. So through other people, they let me know, you know, that they wanted to talk to me. And then I knew at one time that I had to go see John Edward and he was in town. And this is a time that we had no money and we were just really struggling. You know, do you buy diapers or, you know, milk kind of a thing. And we went to go see him. And I thought to myself, I don't know why we're here. I don't know why I have to do this, but I trusted it. And I think that's the big thing about intuition and all this work is you have to really have a faith and trust what you're getting. When we go there, and there's probably 3,000 people and it's packed. I wasn't there for a reading. I just knew I had to be there. So during the break, my husband went out and listened to the Rockies, which is a baseball team here. And he went out there and listened to an AM station. And he listened to the game, came back in, was very supportive. And we get ready to leave. And he goes, "You seem disappointed." And I said, "Well, I don't know why I'm here. You know, I just don't get it other than people are really needing to have more mediums to connect with their loved ones." We get in the car and I didn't find this out too much later. It was on an FM station and it was a radio station here in Colorado called Posey 101. And Rashi was the DJ and she had Sid the Psychic on. And I thought to myself, I need to call that station tomorrow. Long story short, I would have never heard that radio station, would never have heard that evening DJ. And when I called, I ended up talking to the producer or the head guy there anyway. He was originally from the East Coast and had helped support other psychics and mediums. So he was open-minded to it. And I told him I was at the John Edward event and kind of what came to mind that I really feel like there's more of a need. Well, after a couple months of meeting them and going through this process, now I want you to know at the time I did not have a practice. I was just sort of trying to figure this out. And I got onto the radio station after 9/11 and I drove home and thought, this is what I'm going to do the rest of my life. I did 52 readings on and off the air and knew at that moment I was never going to go back to what I was doing before. So if I wouldn't have gone to see John Edward, I wouldn't have heard the radio station and called and got on the air. And that's how it happened.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's kind of like we sometimes think that the path or the steps that we're supposed to take is, you know, the normal things. Like you go to college, right. You have a career, or like you said, I'm going to go to this class and then, you know, I don't know, he's going to give me a reading. I don't know what the format was. And then he's going to say, "Hey, this is what you need to do." Right.
Right.
Like, and then your angels and our guides are thinking, okay, well, not quite, but then they give us breadcrumbs, you know, and sometimes we're oblivious to it. And sometimes it actually clicks. And 52 readings. So that was just in one show that you did. Wow.
One show. And I knew at that moment, and I actually have a breadcrumb story I'll have to share with you later, but it's one of those things that we didn't have any money. I didn't have a choice. It was either you go for it and you see what happens or you stay where you are. And we're here to make changes. And what's interesting, several months before, I went to a psychic fair and this woman told me, I asked her if my husband was going to get a new VP job. And she goes, "No, but why aren't you behind this death doing readings?" And I thought she was crazy. So we are told these things, but we don't always believe it at the time.
Yeah, no, yeah. Exactly. And I think too, when we're not ready as well, is when we kind of just, I heard somebody else say, it's almost like a snooze alarm, like when you're waking up and you don't want to necessarily wake up fully, you want to go back to sleep. And we do that, we're dismissive sometimes of either the signs or the direction that we get from the universe and what that mm-hmm. looks like. And I feel like that's a really good segue into what we were, you know, what we're going to talk about here and dive into more, which is how to connect with your spirit guides through your dreams. But before we do that, I think that all of the things that you've just shared here about going to the John Edward class or session, hearing it on the radio, having this opportunity to, you know, start doing the readings and then not looking back, those are all part of it, where we're getting those signs or we're connecting with the other world or the other realm, I should say, and we don't necessarily realize it all the time. So maybe if that's a good place to start, we can get a little bit of insight from you on what that looks like for you or for individual people. And then how does that then go into, you know, relay into our dreams when we're dreaming?
Absolutely. You know, I think as a society these days, we're all extremely busy and we're online a lot. We all have our phones and our computers with us all the time. And so when people really want to be able to connect with their loved ones or their spirit guides, they have to realize that they have to be present. And I think that's the hardest thing for people these days is being present. And so they will come through to us in dreams if you're a good sleeper. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go into that and you actually, you know, release the day. And that's just another way that they can connect with us. And it's really a beautiful thing. Matter of fact, as a medium, and I'm sure for you and other people, it's sort of a shorthand that you get when you do a reading. And you're getting things that are basically metaphors to determine what you're trying to say. And when I was in high school, I learned shorthand, which everyone became secretaries then. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we didn't have technology. And that's basically what giving a reading is that you're trying to decipher what information is coming through because they don't have vocal cords. So you're seeing, hearing, feeling different things that you can interpret. And dreams are the same way. Dreams are giving you these messages that you have to basically dissect and figure out what they mean. It eventually becomes easier because people get afraid of dreams sometimes. It's mm-hmm. very fear-based what they get. And it's taking that out of the equation so that they don't have a fear around what they're receiving too.
What do you think our dreams are? Like, well, I mean, I know what they are to me, but how do you, is it like where we're kind of using that as another dimension in communicating?
Yeah. And I think sometimes it's just us processing. A lot of us will process things throughout the day and problem solve. And a lot of times, as I tell people, dreams are just weird.
Yeah.
You know, people will go to me, isn't this weird what happens? And I tell them, I said, well, I communicate with the dead, so everything I do is sort of weird. And it's taking that word out of there and realizing that there are messages that you're trying to get from your guides or your loved ones. And the one thing I hear a lot is they're not getting information or signs from their loved ones who've crossed over. So they may come through in someone else's dream mm-hmm. because if you have too much grief, you may not be able to receive those type of messages as easily.
And I think sometimes like, so my mom and my aunts and my sister and I had this, you know, this thing with my grandma, who on my mom's side, she has passed over. And we always used to say like, hey, we need you to come visit us. After you die, come visit us and give us a sign. And I think in our minds, we thought that that was going to be her, like, actually like, I don't know, materializing through a wall and sitting down and having a conversation with us. Right. And right. What that's really ended up being more in reality is she loved gardening and she loved birds. And so now anytime we see a cardinal, you know, one literally pecks at the door and the windows all the time for a while until we acknowledged it and it went on. But I think that intuition or the sign or the symbol of what that would mean to you or to the other person who has passed away or is in that other dimension is it's different for that communication. Because like you said, it's they don't have the vocal cords or they don't necessarily have the ability to materialize with us.
And it's a lot of mm-hmm, energy for mm-hmm, them.
Exactly.
And for them to show themselves, a lot of times they can't give you any other information because of what it takes. And so they will give you these other little easily signs. And I think the other thing that people have to realize is that you can't ask them to show you signs on demand. You know, we can't control them here. We're not going to control them over there. And it's just basically the healing process that we go through that we're able to eventually really feel them and validate that for ourselves. And a cardinal is really great too. If you got a cardinal, that's really unusual. That's great.
Good oh, is you. It? Oh, how's it that unusual?
Cardinals will come through, and they're only in different parts of the country, so you're fortunate to have them, but they're a very strong spiritual messenger. So you may want to Google that as a totem. And what does it mean? What is the spiritual meaning of cardinal? So you'll love it.
Yeah, no, it's this one. It was actually, I'll just a side note, I'll tell a little bit more of the story later, but my mom thought it was stalking her. Because it would follow her around the house, like whenever she was in a different part of the house. And finally uh-huh. I said, that's grandma. And just go and say like, hi, I see you. I know you're here. And it finally just calmed down after she did that. So it was definitely interesting.
Yeah, I've had that with hawks, an entire hawk family.
Wow.
And I called the Audubon Society because they were actually trying to leave me meat on my deck.
Wow.
And the Audubon Society said they'd never seen that before. So when we talk about these dreams and interpretations, I'll give more messages on that. But yeah, birds are a great, think about the feathers and the wings. You know, that's how we kind of see them.
Exactly. What would you say to people that say that they don't dream or they don't remember their dreams or have dreams? Because we all dream, but I think it just, correct, we're at a different level of, or stages, I guess, and being able to.
Correct. Well, I love to teach. And when I was doing this 30-day shift class, one of the weeks is about dreams, and people were saying to me, well, I don't dream. And as we started then making the intention of writing down their dreams or dreams they'd had in the past that they still remembered, dreams started coming to them, mm-hmm, again during that class. So it's creating that intention. I think the other thing too is some people don't really go into REM sleep. They are still waking up throughout the night. So if you're not a person that can sleep through the night or you're on medication, I think it's harder for people to have those dreams come through. So they may want to meditate or have an intention, have a journal nearby, asking their guides and their loved ones to start coming through. But a lot of people are exhausted. They go to bed and they wake up two or three times a night. They're not going to be able to get those messages if that's sort of your behavior at night.
Yeah. And what other kind of tips? Like, so walk us through some of the things that you have people do, or I guess as far as setting those intentions and getting into their dreams, what's like the first step?
Making sure that your room is your bedroom and everything around it is supporting your ability to sleep at night. You know, do you have a light that comes in off the street? Is your bed comfortable? Your pillows comfortable? Is the smell good? Is there extra noises in the house that will wake you up? You know, maybe not drink water for an hour before you go to bed. Just different things like that that's going to create the ability for you to really go to sleep. I think also meditating or doing things that's going to help you get more relaxed, whether it's a hot Epsom salt bath, a meditation, coloring mandalas, anything that's going to kind of surrender your thought process so that your body knows it's supposed to go to sleep and hopefully the dreams are there. And it might take a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not going to be necessarily an immediate thing. And then I also, a while back, one of the things I had read or come across was when you wake up in the morning, instead of just like right when your alarm goes off, or if you happen to just, you know, be one of those people that automatically wakes up at a certain time every morning, just not just jump up out of bed right away, but to maybe jot down, you know, in a notebook or on your phone or something, what you dreamt or what you remember, because the most important thing is you get into that pattern or that habit, and then you start to remember more frequently and more often.
A thing to remember as well is that your guides are going to have you remember what you need to remember as time goes on. If you're using your dreams as a way to communicate, they're not going to not let you remember. So they may have someone talk to you and mention something, or you'll hear a song or anything that's going to trigger it. You may only get one or two things that you remember in that dream. That's maybe all you need. I can do an entire reading based on just a couple images. What people don't realize is that they think they have to have more to really understand it. But when you learn to interpret the dream, all of a sudden, those couple things that you remembered are enough. And then you're able to put down what is also going on in your life that connects the dots. So it can be a lot easier than people think.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give some examples of that too. So,
yeah, please do.
Well, for instance, when people think about spiders or snakes in their dream, they get really mortified and feel like it's hot, horrible. And actually, they're great messengers for the snake. If you look at the doctor symbol where it has the snake that goes up the staff, that's been around for years, and it was actually from Greece, and it was all about healing. When you look at the snake, when it sheds its skin, it's a rebirth and a new beginning. Snakes do not have ears, and their eyes close over when they are shedding. So it's about using your other senses and what is needing to be healed, what needs to be said, what is it that's going on for change in your life, or is it time for change? Spiders create these beautiful webs, and they're also about communication and things about a relationship and how we're communicating, how we're seeing things. So again, people get really grossed out when they see those things, when they're actually great messages. when people are in water. Water is a great way to understand your messages in your dreams. So depending on what you're seeing in your dream regarding water, like if it's rushing water, it's all about emotion. Well, all water is about emotion. It's the feminine energy. It is about a cleansing. So if you see rushing water, it might be emotions are high. If you're seeing stagnant water, it can represent the fact that things need to move, and because this is stagnant and not good, and we don't want that kind of energy. So you're looking at how to interpret the emotions that's going on in your life based on the water. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that you say something really important too, is sometimes people, like whatever symbol that is, whether it's a snake or a spider, or it's the water, whether you're swimming or, you know, drowning in that, it's sometimes it's related to you and what you're, well, actually all the time it's related to you and what you're going through, but also sometimes it can represent like sources and things happening externally outside of you as well.
Absolutely.
And how you feel about it, I think, is even more important, because sometimes like we may get, like, I guess in our minds, like bogged down on that, exactly what you're saying, the interpretation of something is like a negative, or that this is historically how it is. But if you're feeling a certain way as you're coming out of that dream or waking up, then that's also important too.
100%. And I think the biggest thing, anyone that is an intuitive that does any of this work, we have a tendency to not do very well in our boundary. And we want to heal everybody. We want to take care of everybody. And what I've learned and what I teach is stay in your lane. And when you get dreams about other people and you're involved in them, a lot of times we're there, we want to protect them. We want to rescue them. And it's realizing that they have their own journey as well. But it might be some insight we can give to them. But it's also a reflection of how do we want to handle it? Is it up to us to get in the middle of a situation? It's not out. But we get very attached to other people's issues and healings and concerns. And that's not always our job to do that for everybody else.
Exactly. And I think what's so cool about dream interpretation is it's so ancient. Like it goes back to such a faraway time of where different cultures and whether the spiritual religion, they use dreams as this method of interpreting what people were going through in societies in their life at that time. And you take that to another level because you are teaching people about using their intuition to interpret their own dreams, and that those symbols and signs are different for each person. And then that way they have the tools as they're starting to kind of build their arsenal, right, of what they mean. Then they don't have to go externally. They can literally go inward and figure out what that means for them.
And me, I like to always make sure that people learn to use their own intuition, because they don't always need to go to somebody, even though I think it's great to get those validations from another psychic, but I also feel like, you know, we can work through our own things. One thing I do want to mention, and I didn't write this down as a note, but people sometimes get into fear when they have a dream about someone dying and then it is manifested. What will happen in dreams is that we will remember some very negative things that happen, and we're not paying attention to the positive dreams that also come through. And so remembering just the negative things makes people feel a little bit of fear, the dreaming or what they're going to get, and then what do they do with that information. So just so that people know, if you've had some of those dreams, start writing down the positive dreams as well, so that you realize that you're getting information that's just not about those things that you're worried about that's going to happen in the future.
Yes. And also, I am actually really excited about this, because I remember, gosh, either doing readings or getting readings myself, and you would get like the death card sometimes, or you would have a dream about somebody, like you said, dying and passing away. And now though, when you have that happen, most people are like, okay, I know that literally doesn't mean death. So I think that's progress, right? We made progress.
Correct.
But I also think that the reason why that comes up, whether whatever symbol or sign that you get from that in your dreams, or even when you're awake in life, is that that is usually a sign that something big is coming to a close. It doesn't literally mean somebody's dying. And that's actually a good thing in a lot of ways, because of the fact that that means that there's growth, especially spiritual growth, or, you know, the evolution of things.
You don't want the stagnant water anymore.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to just stay stuck.
Yeah, and the snake represents that rebirth and new beginnings. And so that death is a good thing. I mean, you want to be done with your pregnancy. 9 months is enough. maybe you're getting a divorce. You want that to end, or maybe you're getting a new job or starting your own business. All those things that are ending are opening up, like you said, the door for a new beginning.
So what are, before we get into some more of the tips and then maybe even do a mini meditation to get people in the mindset for if they want to try this before they go to sleep, what are some other big things, or I don't want to say signs, but symbols of dream interpretation that people should kind of be on the lookout for? Like you mentioned death as being one thing, but, or if there's animals and they're almost like our spirit animals to show, anything else you kind of want to share? Maybe call
lots
out.
Of things. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Awesome. Let's do it.
So one thing I will mention, because this seems to be a question that's asked often, is their loved ones coming through. So the thing to remember, if your loved one comes through in a dream, it's very clear. They look very young and they're happy, but they usually don't say a whole lot. They may do something, or you like try to hug you, or you try to hug them, but they're usually not there very long. That's called a visitation. If you see your loved one and they're not looking happy and you're still seeing them as, you know, the cancer or the bad times, that is just your grief. So you want to separate the two of them. And if you are having a dream that they're not in a good place, that's just your healing. It's a guilt. It's all those kind of things that you're dealing with. Some of the other things to look for are numbers. Numbers for numerology, so what things mean. For instance, 1 through 9 are where you are at times in your life. So the 9, again, would be the ending of something, where 1 would be the new beginning. And so you want to look at, is there numbers in the dream? Is there a phone number you're calling? You can add those things up and do a little bit of numerology. If you're seeing colors of the chakra, so for those that are not familiar, it's the energy centers that go from their tailbone up to the top of your head. And they're actually more than that. But, you know, you have the root chakra, which is red, and then you have the orange, the yellow, the green, the blue, the purple, and the white, and all those represent something. So if you're wearing a certain color, or there's a lot of color in that dream, it symbolizes sometimes you working on that part of your life. So if you're not feeling grounded in life and you feel as if the rug's been pulled from underneath you and you've lost a job or things are just not right, that means really working with Mother Earth, connecting and rooting where you are in life, finding the confidence again, and knowing that you are capable of that empowerment. A lot of people feel like they can't talk in their dreams. You know, they're trying to scream and they can't yell or say anything. And that would be your throat chakra. What is it that people are not hearing? What are you not saying? Are you not listening to someone that's important to you? And so those things can all represent one little symbol can say so much about things that are happening in your life, and to get those tools. Animals are huge. So if you have a dream about elephants, which I did the other day, when you understand that elephants are all about family. And when they're pregnant for 2 years. So it could mean that something that for 2 years has been going on and now there's going to be a change, or you have 2 years to kind of get through something. So those are kind of the things. You want to look at what they eat. Do they mate for life? Where do they live? Are they around water? Are they in trees, things like that? And those will be great tools to help you sit back a little bit and analyze your dream.
Yeah, and I'm being led to say too that one of the messages I'm getting from my guides is sometimes when you see that in a dream, like whether it's a color, a number, an animal, which could be a spirit guide, is that it's also something to bring into the physical life if you can. So maybe wear more of that color, or call that color in, or write the number down, or just be on the lookout for what that is when you're going on your day-to-day experience. And those are the ways, almost like guideposts and those breadcrumbs that we were talking about earlier. What does it mean when you have a dream that's constantly repeated? Is it like you haven't learned or processed what you're, and then you're just going to continue to have that dream until you do? Or what does that mean?
I think there's sometimes we're really working through things. And I think as humans, we don't want pain and we want to control things and we want to control an outcome. Such for me, when I got onto this path, I wanted to control that my husband would go get that other VP job so our life could go back to what we knew. And what happens is we want to control. And what you learn is the universe actually knows a lot more than we do and they are smarter. So do you have a particular dream you're talking about?
Yeah, no, it's more like I remember, especially when I was younger, you know, you have those weird dreams where you're going to class and you have a test and you haven't studied for it, right? And then or some people have said, I haven't had this, but like where you walk into a room with a meeting and you realize you don't have your clothes on.
That's me.
Yeah, like those dreams, I guess, that are like kind of like you wake up and you're like, I had that again, and you just kind of brush it off and you don't really put much more thought into it. That's what I was wondering, just for anybody out there who may be experiencing that right now.
So when you are naked, which I've had those dreams when I was a kid, it's feeling vulnerable. And we are told when we're younger is, what will people think? So being naked and showing everything, it would be shameful. And there's so much guilt and things like that. So what you want to do is realize that you're a beautiful soul. And who told you that you're not? Or who said, don't do this because what will people think? When you're not prepared for a test, to me, that would represent that you always have to get it perfect. And if you don't get it perfect, then what's going to happen? What will people say? And there is obviously some kind of competition going on with you or someone in your life that feels that you have to do it perfectly. And if you don't prepare, then you're going to fail. And we all have a fear of failure. So what is going on in your life that you feel that, what if I fail this? What if I'm not able to do it? What's going to happen if I'm not able to succeed with what I think this should be look like? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got a lot of that when I was in middle school and in high school. And I think a big part was because I was moving around so much. And so I had to have that, like you just said, that perfection or that appearance of I've got it together. When in reality, I was just freaking out behind the scenes, you know, because I didn't know people, or, you know, you have a new school, you have a new whatever. And so it's all of that going into it.
Every area that you're living has a different culture. And so how do you fit in? And if people see that you're not perfect or fitting in, then they have some reason to tease you or mock you and make you feel bad.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yep. That was my life. Yeah. Oh, the other one, I haven't had this before, but I've always been kind of fascinated when people have dreamt this, is when you're falling. And then there's that myth that if you actually hit the ground in your dream, you die, which, you know, and then no one's actually hit the ground. But I think the falling part is probably, I would say that what my intuition is telling me is a loss of control or wanting to like actually release that control. But you tell me. What it is.
I agree with both of those terms. And again, you have to kind of look at what the situation is. But I also feel like it's trust. If we look at our past, what the fear for people and everything that we're here to learn is getting through our fear. And sometimes we feel that I can't trust this process. I have to know exactly the outcome. And so when you're falling, you feel like you said, you have no control. And if you're not trusting that you've already had some things happen to you in the past, guess what? You're still here. You still landed on your feet. You landed safely in some form of fashion. And what we think is that we're not going to be okay. And so the fear of not trusting the process means that we don't feel like we have the tools or that we're not going to be okay with it. And so, yeah, we do want to control something. And we both know you can't control an outcome at all. It's not possible.
Yeah, no, it makes me want to every morning when I wake up now, actually like intentionally start to jot that down and then look it up. And there are a lot of, I mean, you mentioned Google, but there's also books out there. I had one growing up that I had on my nightstand. So if there was something and I would look it up in the dream dictionary, I would kind of jot that down. And then over time, it would just be bullet points, right? Or that shorthand that you mentioned. And that way over time, if there was a certain pattern, like something like a word or anything else that really just stood out, then I realized that that was something that I really needed to focus on. And that can be a really powerful tool for you to, because your brain and your mind and your spirit and your soul and your emotions, you go to sleep, but you're really working that out in the other dimension. And the purpose of that is so that like, if there's certain things that you haven't been able to physically or mentally comprehend when you're awake, then you're trying to process that when you're asleep. And so it can be something that it really helps us as a tool.
And what I like when you just said that of writing it down, and that's what I try to encourage people to do, it's letting you feel like you have some control of what's going on in your life. You're getting a response from the universe. You are getting a response from your loved ones and your guides to say to you, yes, we are trying to help you. We can't give you the answer. We can't take away what's going to happen, but we can give you those tools so so that you are prepared to go in. So, for instance, when you said about you're not prepared for the test when you walk in, when you have these signs from the universe, that allows you to know what you can do and how you can manage a situation that's most likely going to come up for you, whether it's dealing with family, whether it's dealing with your health or work, things like that. Those are the things that are going to show up for you to be somewhat prepared, at least, and that you're not surprised. You're not falling.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you're not showing up naked.
Yeah. And it's important because I'm sure you get this too, but when people ask you, okay, who am I going to marry? What day am I going to meet that person on? Where do I need to go for this? It's not as prescriptive of that because we all have this free will. So again, the universe and our guides and angels are giving us these signs and helping us, but we shift and we change the playing field every day in the decisions that we make to some extent. So it's kind of like you need to reassess in a way. And while it is a sense of control, it's really less about control and really about letting go and to know that the universe has our backs and that they are here to guide us. But we need to, you know, open ourselves up to the fact that it may look a little bit different than what we think it would be or how we think that those steps are that we should be taking.
100%. Right. When people ask me when they're going to get married, I said, are you out there trying to date? And they go, well, no. I go, well, then it's going to be the UPS driver.
Yeah. Knocking at your door, giving you your FedEx or your UPS. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Kind of have to go out there and put some work in, but.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where I come in and go, okay, you got to step up. Two kind of dreams that people get that I want to kind of talk about too briefly. One, people will wake up very, very tired at times. And if you're not sleeping well, it definitely can be a medical thing. But for some people, and I've done this, where you will actually travel to your dreams to see other people and work in areas to kind of help a vibration of a community. And I've done this. I have other people that do it. Sometimes you will like almost jerk back into your body when you show back up. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the veil, there are actually layers to those other dimensions. And some people, as they're doing work at nighttime when they're sleeping, they go to these other dimensions and they can actually see souls or different things happening. And I've had this happen when big events have happened in the world. And I don't understand the interpretation of the dream until it happens. And you're not there to stop it or change anything. It's just that we do connect. I call it the kind of a worldwide web that our consciousness is connecting to this web around the planet and everywhere else. And so when we tap into that realm, we can actually see a lot more things that are happening in the world and around other people.
I think that's a great segue about, because we talked in a really good path about what it looks like before you're dreaming, when you're in that dream state. And now we're talking about intentions and making sure that we either set those boundaries or what it is that we want to accomplish. So do you mind walking us through kind of a mini meditation?
Absolutely. And so this is a meditation to connect with our guides during our dream state or just connecting with our guides?
I think connecting with our guides in our dream state.
Okay.
Would be good because that way if people wanted to play this before they go to sleep, they can do that. And that would be a nice relaxing thing. So don't do this when you're driving.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
When you're sitting down.
I
know. Well, I have to say that. So yeah, not when you're driving. If you're out there and about, this is for, the intention is for when you're about ready to go to sleep and you want to connect with your guides and your angels in your dream state.
And yes, do not put Gorilla Glue on your hair.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so I'm going to do this. Probably we'll make it about 3 to 4 minutes, maybe
That's
five.
Perfect.
We'll see how long it goes. And of course, there's, we can extend that. People can listen to it more than once. And it's just a way to kind of get your mindset into that kind of energy field.
Perfect.
So I'm going to just kind of take a couple of deep breaths. If you're laying down, making sure that the pillow and the blankets and everything is at a good temperature and it has the right height and that there are no noise that's going to disrupt you. And as you take some deep breaths, feel different parts of your body relaxing. Thinking about your feet, maybe stretching your toes, squeezing them and releasing them. And with each time that we go to another part of the body, making sure you take a deep breath, inhale and exhale. bend your knees and straighten out your legs. Position your hips so they feel relaxed and supported. Feeling your spine. Breathe out any tension in your shoulders and your arms. Tightening the fingers and stretching them out. Feeling your heart open up as you take another deep breath and exhale any concerns or worries. Let them just kind of go into the wind. Tighten your cheeks and your eyes and your forehead. And relax it and breathe one more time. Feeling your body, feeling supported and more relaxed in the comfort of your home and in your room, knowing that you are safe and you are protected. Begin to imagine for a few moments that your soul is rising above your bed. Your soul feeling lighter and more content. Noticing the things in your room. Seeing your body become very restful. As you rise above your house, the roof, you look around and you can see your neighborhood. Perhaps trees and birds. You take another deep breath, embracing all of your surroundings, knowing once again that you are safe. Your body is feeling lighter. You're rising even higher, beginning to see the community that you live in. Watching the landscape, seeing all the things that are familiar to you. Your heart is excited. It knows what's ahead. With another deep breath, you become lighter and farther away. You begin to see Mother Earth in all of her glory. Seeing her peacefully turn, seeing the continents and the oceans, the clouds, and you realize how beautiful she really is. You're approaching the moon, and you feel it being very quiet, very serene. And you start seeing the galaxy, all the beautiful stars. It begins to feel familiar as you fly further and further away. You begin to see how big the galaxy is, and how powerful you are being there. You feel nothing but the love that the universe has that's unconditional. You're getting closer to a beautiful planet. It might look a lot like Mother Earth. It's meant to feel familiar. You're beginning to see and touch and feel the presence of this planet. It has nothing but love and support. You're sitting on a bench, looking out and you begin to see all of these light beams of pure love and joy. And they feel familiar to you. There's a knowing. This guide you've known before, they feel familiar. And you feel their presence. In your mind and in your heart, is this soul male or female? Are they old or young? What are they wearing? Listen with your heart what their name is. Take this moment and let your soul and your heart see the love they have for you. Feel their love and what they desire for you. Touch your heart and know that you deserve. And you can feel it going through every being in your soul. Take a moment to thank them and embrace them. And ask them to go back to your journey through the galaxy. Feel them right next to you as they've always been. Perhaps this is the first time you recognize them again, that they've been there, they've watched. Up ahead, you see the beautiful Mother Earth, and your guide is with you, right by your side. Feel as you get closer and closer, noticing the landscape in your community, feeling your guide right next to you. As you enter your room, notice your body laying there, happy, relaxed. Let your soul reconnect with that body. And know that your guide is always there, holding your hand, holding your heart, and supporting you on this journey that you are on. Take a couple more deep breaths. And know that you can do this journey anytime that you need. And know that what you're seeing and feeling is real. A couple more deep breaths. And exhale. Okay. Namaste. You can open your eyes when you're ready.
Thank you, so be it. Oh, man, that was beautiful. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Very much.
Okay.
And before we break and cut, I just wanted to say, well, first of all, thanks for sharing your story and your gifts with the world. But how would you like people to reach you outside of this episode, on your website or on any of your social channels?
Yes, I have lots of things. I have a podcast called Spirited Straight Talk. Of course, my website is debshepherd.com. I also am on social media, and I have I love teaching. And so I have a life coaching 6-month program that's launching on April 5th. And I have a 3-day free online class on April 3rd. If you sign up, you can get my newsletters and sign up for sessions and all the things that we offer in our community and, of course, around the world these days.
Amazing. What does your life coach session look like? I feel like that's extremely timely right now with people trying to figure out what they want to do.
Well, you know, I've been teaching mentoring for years, and I've taught it in the sense of what our life purpose is. And I don't always believe that it's what our job is. It's what we're here to learn. And so for a lot of people, it's really getting into the nuts and bolts of why we can't create the life we want. Why can't we, you know, have the things, and how do we create the intention? And I think a lot of coaching is that accountability and giving people that insight and tools so that they can learn to interpret their dreams or to create a business or relationship that is healthy for them. And of course, if anyone wants to do this kind of work, it's coaching them too, to be able to build that and know what to look for. But teaching, I've done readings around the world. I love doing readings. The coaching to me is seeing those results, because I can't be attached to the outcome, but watching people find their power and their tools and the healing and dealing with grief, whether it's a loss of a loved one or a marriage or your health, whatever, it brings me so much joy. But I think this program, what's really great, it's a lot more one-on-one, which I usually am doing with larger groups, and that accountability there to kind of look at everything in their life and dissect what they're thinking. Because I think the biggest thing is people don't know how to always manifest, and we get in our own way and we block that opportunity.
So to book a session, that's on your website. And then for courses like that, especially the coaching, that's under the course tab?
Yes. We have all the classes. And I don't know if that one has been put completely on there yet. We're working out a few things to launch it. But it's there. You can reach out to us and talk to us about it as well.
Well, wonderful. Well, thanks again, Deb. I really appreciate your time and again sharing your story, and hope you have a blessed rest of your day.
Thank you. And thanks for the opportunity. I really have enjoyed it as well.
Same here. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to A Psychic Story. Please be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and join the conversation on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. All episodes are free on your favorite podcast player or at apsychicstory.com. A Psychic Story has a 1-800 phone number now. You can call and leave a voicemail about any questions you may have, new topics you'd like to hear about, or even guests you want to hear more from. The number is 1-800-880-1881. That is 1-800-880-1881. We'd love to hear from you. Call and leave us a message. You may even be featured on a future episode.